Feel the Lord certainly has been with us this morning already in the good song service, hymn selection, and everything that's gone before. I'm so thankful to be here. Thankful the Lord gives us another opportunity in this old world to come out from an old troubled world, separate ourselves for just a little while, and be able to worship the Lord and give Him the honor and the praise and the glory that He so richly deserves. We'll never get done that here in this world, giving Him the glory that He truly deserves. But it's a great blessing to be able to gather for that purpose this morning. And it's a joy to be able to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I do come before you, as the Apostle Paul has taught us, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Knowing that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I'm so, as we sang in that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And I certainly recognize that I need the blessings of the Lord to preach or to speak in His name. But I also trust and know that our God is a great God and a merciful God and a loving God. And He is our Heavenly Father. And as we look to Him, we will, on every occasion, always find that which is necessary and needed. We won't always find what we want, because sometimes our wants are off track. But we will find, in looking to the Lord on every occasion, exactly what we stand in need of. And I certainly feel today to be in need of His blessing in order to be able to preach to you. So, if you'll turn with me this morning, I'd like to call your attention to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, in the Ephesian letter. And we'd like to begin reading right in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we'll read the first 10 verses. I have had this on my mind recently. I've used it recently, and I've used it many times down through my efforts to preach to the Lord's people. But it is very much on my mind this morning, and I trust the Lord will bless us as we look at it together. Even if it is just to stir your pure minds up in a way of remembrance of things that you've learned in the past, but need to hear again, is that good news, that wonderful same truth, same story, same wonderful gospel that the Lord has given us to declare to the Lord's people. The writings of the Apostle Paul, he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." The message here is certainly one of salvation by and through the grace of God. Of Almighty God. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Isn't that good news today for God's little children, who recognize that without the Lord we are completely helpless and hopeless and unable and unwilling to do anything that would be good or right or pleasing in the sight of our awesome, righteous, perfect God. And if we even have the want to today, the desire, the ability, the feeling that we need to, any of those things, there's an evidence that we have been the recipients of the grace of Almighty God. The Scripture says, "And you hath He quickened." And he's talking to those who were the faithful in Christ Jesus, to the church at Ephesus, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I believe he's talking to this little assembly this morning. I hope and pray he's talking to me. I do certainly believe he's talking to you. Those who have been quickened, and that word is kind of a little strange for us. If we didn't understand what the word quickened means, we might think it means to run fast or to do something like that. But it's really talking about being made alive. You've been made alive. You've been given life. You hath he quickened, and the state we were in before he quickened us was the state opposite of life, and that is death. We were dead. And dead is dead, and it's not sick, and it's not weak, and it's not feeble. Dead is dead. Dead is a condition where one is without any ability to help themselves. Dead is a condition where there's really no want to help yourself. There's really no ability to help yourself. It is a condition where, by in a spiritual sense, we are completely separated from Almighty God without any ability or desire or will to recover ourselves out of that state. Now today, if you love the Lord, that's an evidence that you are not dead. Today, if you have begged God to forgive you, that's an evidence that you're not dead. Today, if you recognize that you're in need of forgiveness, that truly you are a sinner in the sight of a God who is holy and righteous, and that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you understand that, that's an evidence that you're not dead. If you have a desire to call on Jesus, if you have a desire to call on God, if you see and recognize your need of Him, if you look at this world and you recognize that this world didn't just jump into place on its own, it isn't time and chance that brought it all together, but it's obvious and very clear to you that there was a Creator that had to make this world, otherwise this world wouldn't be here. If that's an apparent thing to you, and anything else kind of sounds silly to you, and you know that inside and in your heart, not just what mama taught you or daddy taught you or what you learned in your family or what you even learned at church, but rather in your heart, you have a knowledge and an understanding that there is a God that when I'm in trouble, I can call upon Him, and when I'm in need, I can call upon Him, and I desire to have communion with Him. I desire to have fellowship with Him. Sometimes I may even worry about whether I have relationship with Him. Sometimes I may wonder, am I His or am I not? Sometimes I may be concerned at the end of time, am I going to be able to stand with the Lord's people on the right, or am I going to be cast away on the left? Am I one that is truly His? And someone might say, well, you know, someone who doesn't know absolutely that you're on the right, well, you know, you better get things right. Now listen, I don't believe you'd even be concerned about it at all if you have not already been brought from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. You see, the dead man doesn't worry about God. He's not concerned about God. He's not worried about meeting God at the end of time. First of all, he feels good enough in himself that if I had to meet God, I may not be good altogether. But, you know, usually the thought is, I'm as good as everybody else. I can hang in there, and if I'm going to be numbered, I've done some bad things, but I've done a lot of good things. That's usually what's in his mind and thought. And let's say it this way. It's usually what's in our mind and thought by nature, is it not? We feel like, well, you know, I don't think I've really done anything to deserve God's judgment because, you know, I've not been that bad a guy. And I'll tell you, when God awakens you, you start seeing things different. And I ask you this morning, do you see things different? If you see things different, it wasn't me that convinced you of that. Because if I had told you what I'm about to tell you, that we are all sinners who've come short of the glory of God, and though we may think we're good, there's not one of us that's good. Though we may think our parents were good, there's not one of them that would have been good. Though we may think our children are good, there's not one of them that would be good. Outside of the grace and the work of Almighty God, and the mercy of Almighty God. The Bible says it very, very clearly. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that are righteous. There are none that are understanding. There is none that seek after God. There is none that stirs up their hearts to follow after God. There is none who would ever love God. There was none who would ever repent. There would be none, absolutely zero. None of us would have ever chosen to stop doing evil and start doing good without the work of grace beginning first in us. And when God works, it's done. But until He works, we can't. We not only can't, we won't. We will not serve Him. We cannot serve Him. We don't have a will to do it. We don't have the desire to do it. We don't have the ability to do it. But if you're here today because you love Him, and you're here today because you want to serve Him, maybe even as I felt this morning, I feel at times there's so much wrong with me, so much hypocrisy, so many things that are in the wrong way. I wonder, dear Lord, could I truly be Thy child? Dear Lord, am I truly a sincere minister of the gospel? Dear Lord, am I fit to be standing before Thy people today? And somebody said, that sounds like a strange thing for a preacher to say. But I'm telling you, God's little children on the inside, I believe, I hope, I pray, from the Word of God, I can get from the Word of God the proof for it that that's how God's little children feel. They feel like the Apostle Paul who said this, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death?" So much wrong with me. But I'm thankful for grace. Are you thankful for grace today? I'm thankful for grace. And listen, I'm thankful for grace for dying, and I'm thankful for grace for living. I'm thankful for the grace that we'll have when we leave this world. But I'm thankful for the grace also that He gives me this morning and He gives you this morning. The grace that allows us to read His Word and believe His Word. The grace that comes to us in the gift of faith and where we're enabled to trust in God. Not in myself and what I've done for Him, but in Him and what He's done for me. Who are you trusting in today? Listen, if you're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in a failure. Somebody said, well, you're going to make me mad. You keep saying things like that. That's what the world does do. They get mad. That's why our benches are not filled, and that's why we're not the most popular place in town. Because if you want to get offended, just attend an old Baptist church for a little while. And if you're really in the flesh, they're going to tell you, you're no good, your parents are no good, your grandparents are no good. And it runs all the way back to the very first man, Adam. And in Adam, we didn't get better. We didn't start getting better. In Adam, we died. And we are not better than Adam. We're Adam multiplied. We just get worse and worse. And each generation that comes on the face of this earth, left to the nature of man, will progressively become more and more wicked and evil. And do we not see that in this world that we're living today? I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, things that look so bad now wouldn't look nearly as... they'd look a whole lot worse if it wasn't for God's grace. And His grace is there every day. Brethren, don't lose sight of His grace. I don't want to lose sight of His grace. I want to remember His grace. He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." That means we were dead. And what usually we do is say, well, I don't think it's really right that I'm dead because Adam died. Why did I have to get that? Well, that's some of that old sinful nature that pops out of both of us and all of us because we feel like we're deserving and meritous of something we're not deserving of or meritous of. Just get this. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have any natural life. The ticker that's ticking in my heart right now, that heart that's beating, that one who holds that is the Almighty God of heaven. The breath in my nostrils comes from the Almighty God of heaven. That in Him we live and we move and we have our being. And without Him we could not do anything. And I'm telling you today, if you recognize that and understand that, and He has worked, that is a wonderful, great blessing that He has worked a work of grace in your heart to allow you to see it and you to know it and you to understand it. And it's important that you and I recognize that life did not come from us. See, many of God's children believe they're the ones who initiated this life. That they're the ones who made this decision. And in that decision, they gain for themselves life. And what does that do? That takes some of the glory away from the God of heaven and gives it unto man. Listen, you know who all the glory belongs unto? It's not to me, and it's not to you, and it's not to anybody else. It's to Almighty God. The only reason today that I love Him is because He first loved me. The only reason I've ever called on Him is because He reached down into this sin-cursed earth and He came into the dunghill in which I was, and He lifted me up from that dunghill, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. And it's a work of regeneration that He did, not when I wanted Him to, but when He saw fit to. He did it in His own good pleasure and His own good time, and I was acted upon. And if you love the Lord, whether you think you started it or not, if you truly love Him, it's because He first loved you. And somebody might say, but I called out on Him, and if I hadn't called out on Him, then I would have not gotten this. Listen, if you called out on Him, it's because you've got a long distance call, not a preacher call, not a mama daddy call, but you got a holy call and a heavenly calling that came from Almighty God, where He took and awoken your dead alien heart that would have never called on Him. And you are allowed to cry in your heart as a little child, Abba, Father. Receiving the spirit of adoption. I don't know when that happened. For some, it may have happened in a mother's womb, and they came forth from the womb in that state of a born again, even though they were dead in sin in their mother's womb and would have come forth from the womb speaking lies. There are times that if God works in the womb, like He did with John the Baptist. I'll tell you where God can work. He can work in the womb and quicken a little babe in the womb to where it leaps, not just kicks, but leaps for joy. John, being filled with joy, leaped for joy in his mother's womb. That's when God can work. And when can God work? He can take a wild Gadarean who was wild and no one could chain him. They chained him up and he'd break it loose. And when God got finished with that wild Gadarean, he was sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus was the only one who could cast those demons out. And Jesus was the only one that could give that dead man life. And when he came at the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead, only thing Lazarus could do was stink. And only thing the family could do was mourn, and they could pray. And they said to Jesus, oh, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And they're absolutely right. Jesus waited so that when he died, he might bring him back to life to show he had the power to do it. Aren't you glad Jesus had the power to stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, by name he called him, come forth. And that Lazarus, bound hand and foot, had to float out of there, didn't he? Had to float out. Can you see it? Can you see? You believe that? If you believe that, that's evidence you have life. Hear me. Because if you didn't have life, when I said this to you, you'd say, what kind of foolishness is coming there out of that? And that man needs to have his head examined. He's crazy. He's talking about stuff that is absolutely impossible. The scientific evidence of the world would say that a dead man, one standing at the tomb of a dead man, is not going to cause him to do anything. And I'm telling you, if it was just a man standing there, if it had just been Jesus, the Son of Man, he was the Son of Man, but he wasn't just that, was he? He was the Son of God. And when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, he said this, Lazarus, come forth. And he showed the power of Almighty God in that this dead man came floating out of there. And then he looked to his disciples and he said, you loose him and let him go. Beautiful picture of what God does in his work of regeneration. And what the ministry is to do in loosing and letting go those who have been made alive. You see, it wouldn't do him any good to loose him and let him go if he was still dead, would it? Matter of fact, that would have been a disservice. You're doing a service to a dead man to keep him wrapped up, because that he can't do that for himself. That's about all men could do for you. But I'm telling you, when the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth alive. And then it was time to loose him and let him go. It was time for him to pull off those old grave clothes. What I'm saying to you this morning, you who've been made alive, live. Act alive. Think alive. Behave like you're alive. Don't act like you're dead. This old world is a dead and dying world. We are God's living. We're living in the land of the living. We are to walk by faith. We're to trust in the Lord. We're to remember His grace. His grace has awakened me. His grace is there for me every day that I live. His grace is my sufficiency. And outside of His grace, then I have no hope and there's no help in me. He says, "And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world." And I'm sure there are things in your memory as well as things in my memory that plague my heart at times of all the stuff that I've done in this world. Listen, God sees and knows all those things. He knew every lie I've ever told my mama and my daddy. And they don't even know all of them, but God knows every one of them. He knows every time insincerity arises in me, and even though I'm putting on a show that everything's okay, sometimes it's not in my heart, and hypocrisy rules in my life. He knows every time my eyes wander where they should not, every time my thoughts go where they should not. He knows what my actions are. He knows what my behaviors are. And the amazing thing is that He loves such an old sinner like me. And listen, He loves every one of His children with an everlasting, unconditional love. What amazing things that He would love such as we. The fact of the matter is, He has a love for every one of His children, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. But you see, once the change has taken place in our lives, we're not to continue in those paths. And that's what the lesson is for us here. God has worked in us. God has made us alive. And therefore, we who were under the power and the dominion of sin in our lives have been set free from that. Not that we can walk free completely of sin, but we don't have to live in it like we once did. It doesn't have to have the rule over us as it once did. And I'm not saying to you you'll ever get completely free of it, but I'm saying we can do a whole lot better than we're doing by following what the Lord has taught us in our lives, and we owe Him that in service and in love towards Him. He says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." In other words, before the Lord worked in us, the only thing that would come out of us would be that which is out of the lust of the flesh. And the works of the flesh, which are manifest, are these, and He tells us about those in the Galatian letter. He tells us and lists them there. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and this is verse 19 of chapter 5 of the Galatian letter, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." In other words, He gives us a whole laundry list there of things that come out of the flesh. As you read those things in Galatians chapter 5 and verse, I think I said 6, it's verse chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20 and 21, it says, "and such like." I want you to know that any one of those things and all of those things separate us from Almighty God, and there is not one of those that He would allow to enter into heaven and immortal glory. And if we were left to our own condition because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we would stand under God's righteous judgment and be eternally separated from Him forever in hell. Somebody said, "That sounds awful harsh." I'm telling you, that's the truth of the Scripture. There is a hell that's eternal. And the suffering that is going to take place for those who transgress God's law and die in that without any grace or without any forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, that judgment is an eternal judgment. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm simply telling you that's what God has saved you from. When Jesus died on the cross, He bore that pain for you. When he took your sins away, He took them in His own body. And the God, the righteous, just God of heaven, didn't just forget them. He poured out His wrath on His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I might be free from that judgment. And eternally, we not only are saved as far as not in having to endure the torment of hell, we also are blessed to have the blessings of heaven, none of which we would have ever deserved. It was, as we've said so many times before, that which He deserved, He gave to us. And that which we deserve, He took upon His own self. Is that not grace? Is that not mercy? Oh, brethren, it ought to cause us just every day to be so very, very thankful that we have such a wonderful, wonderful God, such a wonderful Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of us would have come these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Someone would say then, oh, what hope is there for me? Because that's what's coming out of our flesh. And I'm telling you, here's our hope. That one who came into this world lived a perfect life, and He went to the cross, and there at Calvary, He took my sins and your sins in His own body. It wasn't just the sins of everybody in general. It was in specific and in particular the sins of His people. Those that were given to Him by the Father in covenant, even before the foundation of the world, He saw every sin, everything. I don't want us to think, okay, well, He paid for them all, so they're not really important. Listen, every sin we ever commit ought to grieve our hearts. Don't you believe that? It was our sins that caused Him to die. It was our sins that caused Him to suffer. It's our sins that would have given us hell that He had to pay for us. But listen, He paid that price. So that salvation is free by His grace. But should we say then, let me continue in sin, that grace may abound? No, brethren, our desire ought to be to live as free and as far from it as we can. But I do want you to know this. Every day you live, you'll need to pray that prayer. Father, forgive me of my trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because at our very best efforts, the old nature of man, we still sin and fall short every day. That's why it's wonderful to know His mercy is everlasting. And He's rich in mercy. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that the Apostle Paul didn't leave himself out of any of this? Sometimes we preachers get to talking to the congregation and we say you, and we forget to say we, and us. And when I say we've all come sinned and come, I don't just say you've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I say we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul didn't leave himself out of this. He said he was by nature the child of wrath, even as others. And the only thing that made difference in the life of the Apostle Paul, in my life and in your life, is what we find written as we read this. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Listen, our God is rich in mercy. He had to be rich in mercy for me. How about you? Is He rich in mercy for you? Had to be rich for me? Just for me? And if all of us said that, listen, He's rich in mercy for me, but He's rich in mercy for you. He's rich in mercy for you. He's rich in mercy for... When He shows mercy to one, He's nonetheless still merciful. It's not like me. You know, you and I can run out of mercy pretty quick, can't we? You think, well, I've shown Him mercy last time. Your kids come to you and say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. Well, you just did it yesterday. And I forgave you yesterday when they come back and said I did it again. Listen, you'll find it real good that this old fifth grade teacher is a little short on mercy sometimes when that little fellow who hadn't done his homework ever comes in and says, I didn't do my homework again. Guess what? I might have given him mercy yesterday, but he's not going to get mercy necessarily. Because see, we're, and I'm not just talking about getting away with things. I'm talking about God has shown us mercy. What I deserve, He didn't pour out on me. And His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. He is rich in mercy. And when He's shown you that mercy, He is long-suffering. And that doesn't mean he's unrighteous or unjust. The way that God shows mercy is not like I show mercy. I let it slide. I let it go. But God had payment, had to be made in order for him to justly show mercy. That means Jesus had to die for all of our sins and where we come short of the glory of God. God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loves. You know why God's rich in mercy? Because he loves you so much. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. The Father loved you. The Father loved you so much that he gave you to the Son. The Son loved his elect people so much that he came into this world to die for them. The Holy Spirit loved you so much that wherever you are in your life, at the appointed time of the Father, the Holy Spirit comes and you're born again, born from above. John 3 tells us you must be born again. The scripture says, as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. The new birth doesn't come at the will of man. It isn't the will of man or the will of the flesh, but born of God, born from above. It's the work of Almighty God. He doesn't have any trouble doing it. I don't believe Jesus had any trouble when he said, Lazarus, come forth, for Lazarus to come forth. And wherever he spoke life to the dead, John 5:25, as we've quoted many times before, says this, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We know this, that everyone he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and that calling is not a maybe calling, might be calling. It's an effectual calling that he gives to every one of his children. He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. How will they come to him? Do they all come in obedience to the commandments of God? No. But how do they all come? They all come in regeneration. Every one of them come to him. And they're born of the Spirit of Almighty God. Somewhere between conception, when life begins, and death, when the spirit and the soul leave the body, every one of his children will be quickened, called effectually by Almighty God. And you pray and say in your heart, I hope he called me. Listen, do you want him to call you? It's pretty good evidence he's called you. You know, if you have a desire, otherwise you'll say, that's all foolishness. I'm not worried about that. I don't believe that in that kind of God. I believe that's all silliness. But if you know in your heart that that's the kind of God that he is, and that's the kind of God that I pray I have some relationship with and some kinship with, and that's my hope. That's what hope is about. I hope I'm his. If that's your calling, listen, that shows that, and an evidence that he's called you out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, that he's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are his child, born of his Spirit, born from above. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a life to live to his honor and to his praise and his glory. You have a way to think that's different than the world. You have a way to behave that's different than the teachings of the world. You have a standard given to you in God's Word that you're to live by. You're to follow the teachings of God's Word and put on his scriptures and wear them as the apparel that he's given us to wear in this world. You're to dress up every day in the whole armor of God and live your life with purpose and meaning. Otherwise, you're just like the old preacher was in the Old Testament that says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. This would be an empty world if all there was is just what we had here in this world. I believe in a heaven that awaits God's little children, don't you? An eternal home. Why do I believe that? Because he said it in his word. He said he goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he'll come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Now, I don't believe that was just heaven that he's talking about there, but I do believe heaven was included in that. I believe also he's given us some heavenly places right here in this world to live and enjoy. I believe I'm in one right now. In this old troubled world, there's no place like coming to worship God in the house of God, in the place where the gospel is preached, where we sing it, we preach it, we talk about it, and we love one another as the Lord has loved us. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. even when we were dead in sins. When did God love us? When we were lovable? No, we'd have been in trouble. We were dead in sins. We were his enemies. We weren't calling out on him. We weren't first. We didn't first act and respond. We didn't just hear a preacher one day, and because the preacher said certain things, we responded to that. And because we responded to that, then God responded. Listen, God works in this world in the hearts of his children. And if you have faith, which is the ability to believe in the Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's a gift of God. It only comes by God's grace. If you have that ability, it's by God's grace you have it. He says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. In other words, if you love the Lord today, it's because he first loved you. It's his work. He's done that for you. And have raised us up together. I believe we've been raised up together. Isn't it good to have some togetherness? You know, this world doesn't know much about, doesn't know anything about togetherness. You know, they think they're going to be together, and next thing you know, you got a big fight. Isn't that true? You can even have that. You have it in natural families. You can have it in the house of God, where God's little children get in the flesh. We get and slip into the flesh today. The next thing you know, somebody's talking about somebody. Somebody's saying something. Somebody's thinking something. And the old devil is just looking for places where we'll drop our armor and not walk like he would have us to walk. That's why we remember how God has forgiven us, that we might forgive one another like the Lord has forgiven us. We want to remember how the Lord has loved us, that we might love one another like the Lord loved us. We want to remember how far we went astray, and yet he didn't forsake us, so that when our brethren and our loved ones go astray, we don't forsake them, but rather we act like he acts, not because they deserve it. Listen, it's because doesn't he deserve every action we do that's right and good? Hasn't he done enough for us that we ought to want to please him and live in a way to honor him and glorify him? It'll cause you to act strange in this world when the Lord gets to working on you. I've seen some old hard-headed, hard-hearted men come weeping and crying for forgiveness. Oh, how beautiful that is when you see God working in this world. See one that you think never would walk the aisle of a church and ask for a home. The Lord opens up their heart and their mind, and they can't be satisfied until they're identified with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and they follow him in baptism. They see that's a way that you make a profession of faith and a confession that I love him, and I love him because he first loved me, and I desire to walk with him because he died for me. And in that baptism, I picture his death and his burial and his resurrection. And that is my hope. That is what I believe, that he died on the cross for his children and he paid a sin debt for them. And I want to be identified with him while I live here in this world, even if it means suffering, even though the joys are so much better than you'll ever enjoy in this world. There is some suffering that comes along the way, but I'm telling you, when he's with you, whether it's joy or whether it's sorrow, prison, isn't it what the hymn writer said? Prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. You ever been in some hard times? And if you felt his presence, what would you give for that moment that you feel his presence, even in the most difficult times? And I'm telling you, you feel him there many times much more than you ever do in the good times. Oh, it's wonderful to be in the good times and know it's there because of him. I hope we do that. Hope we have every good meeting you ever have. I hope you remember it's because of Jesus you have it. If you're ever sitting in your homes or in your families and you have joy and peace in that home, I hope you remember that it's only Jesus who brought that joy and peace in your home. If you have love for a good companion in this world, I hope you'll understand it's only Jesus that's provided that for you. If you have friends in this world, I hope you understand that it's only Jesus and his love that's giving you those friends that are really friends, not just fair weather friends. Listen, fair weather friends come and go. You can buy them, and just as soon as you run out of money, though, they're gone. soon as whatever you're doing benefits them, it's gone. But I'm telling you, the friends that will really stick with you are the friends that are like Jesus. And listen, Jesus didn't love us when we could help him. Jesus loved him when we were helpless. He loved us when we were helpless and there was no help for us. And he not only did that, but he lifted us up. He cleaned us up. He didn't leave Lazarus in grave clothes. He said, you loose him and let him go. When he quickened his children, he didn't just leave us in the sin of this world and said, just go stay there. He said, no, you that are now children of light, you walk in the light. You walk and follow after me. You take up your cross. You come out of this world. You be separate. You commune when the brethren commune, remembering the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a part and identify yourself with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I believe with all my heart is an old Baptist, a hard shell old Baptist, primitive Baptist church. And listen, if I didn't believe that, I'd be somewhere else. Because I believe this scripture teaches that the identifying marks of the church are laid out in His Word. And I see them today among that people I've known for the last several, well, it's been a lot of years now, as old primitive Baptists. Some would look at us and say, they're out of date, they're out of time, they're out of touch. The only thing we've messed up on is the things we've added. Listen, what we want to do is stay sound to what His Word teaches. We want to have what it teaches. We don't want to add anything to it or take anything from it. And no, we're not perfect. But the reason is it would be, there's always going to be some imperfection in us. But we desire to follow what the Bible says. We want to follow that. God forbid we do anything else. To be identified with them. You know, I remember the old preacher saying the highest calling that a man can have would be one who's called to the ministry to stand before God's people. But I also believe that every calling of every one of His children, there's not any levels in that. Whatever God would have you to do in His service, in His church, that's a high calling. And you know who He said was the greatest among you? He didn't pull a preacher in and set him on his lap, did he? Did he do that? No. Did he grab one of the disciples? You know, they were talking about which one of us is most important. Which one of us is the most necessary? Did he say, well, come over here, John. I believe he loved John. I believe he's that disciple that Jesus loved. That's how John referred to himself. But he didn't pull him in. You know what he did? He took a little child and he set him on his lap. And He said, he that is least among you is the greatest. How low do you feel this morning? I'm telling you, you're a blessing to the church if you come in poor in spirit and meek and lowly. And you come in praying, Lord, please be with us. Lift us up. Lord, for the benefit of one, carries on many times many, many wonderful blessings. Over one little righteous fervent, the effectual fervent prayer of a what? A righteous man, not a whole group necessarily, but a one righteous man availeth much. Brethren, don't discount your prayers. You say, I feel to be low. Well, that's a good time to pray. When you're weak, you're what? Strong. When you think you're strong, well, you're just confused. You're mixed up. You're mixed up. You need a good old Baptist message to let you know what you really are. And what we are without Jesus is absolutely nothing. And yet with Him, we can do all things that He would have us to do. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. It's a wonderful time when God's little children can worship together. We sing, come we that love the Lord, let your joys be known. Sing, we're marching to Zion. Sing, praises unto God. Sing about the wonderful blessings of serving God, having fellowship one with another. Listen, this old world's so full of trouble and heartache and misery. Isn't it good to have a little oasis, a little old place you can come? A place He's put in this world, He's put His name on it, where His name is declared, where His songs are sung. Where God's little children forgive one another and love one another. We only do that by the grace of God. Listen, we get out of the grace of God, we're in a mess. We can have as big a fuss here as anywhere else. And it can, and our we can, well, listen, brethren, we need Him. We need Him. He says He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And it's all in Christ that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We talked about the blessings here in time, but I'm telling you, what awaits us as God's little children, we haven't seen anything yet. You know, it's what's awaiting us. Oh, we've had some good times of fellowship, but what awaits God's little children? When the things that hinder us are no longer there, when we lay aside this old body, this old natural body, and in soul and spirit we're with the Lord, or He comes again and changes our body and makes us like unto His glorious body, changes our vile body, which He will do, and there'll be a resurrection of the body. If we die before that time comes, when the Lord comes, We'll in the soul and spirit be with Him immediately upon death, and the body will go back to the dust. But the Lord is not going to leave that body here, because He bought and paid for it, and there's going to be a redemption of the body, and there's a redemption of the body, there's going to be a resurrection of the body, and He's going to come again, and you're going to, and marvel not at this. He's quickening His children now, but there's another sound that's going to be heard by all, both good and evil. Going to hear this sound. They're going to hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and there's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And when He speaks, they're going to arise. And I don't know a whole lot about that resurrection of the unjust, but I know the resurrection of the just is going to be this. They're going to hear, and there's going to be a change, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, those that are alive and remain are going to be changed, and those that are in the grave are going to come forth, and they're going to come forth in a glorified, not a weak body, but a spiritual body that's glorified, made in fashion and likened unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll meet the Lord in air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. What is it? I've seen His grace, and I've seen the riches of His grace. What's the exceeding riches of His grace going to be? And He says, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. God has given His children a wonderful gift of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that which is in you that allows you to know and believe in God. It's that which allows you to believe in His Word. It allows you to hear His Word and believe His Word. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith doesn't give you life. Faith is that which you have because of life. I'll tell you what faith will do when you exercise. It'll make you happy when you trust in the Lord. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a deliverance, a timely deliverance, as we trust and believe in the Lord. Lean on Him every day. But that faith isn't of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. That means, what do you and I have to brag on? Not a thing. Created in Christ Jesus. And what for? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Is there a place for works in this wonderful doctrine of salvation by grace? Not anything we can do or work to add to His salvation, but because His salvation is by grace, He has given us the ability to work, and we're to work out that which He's worked in, and we're to do it in a way to honor Him and glorify Him and give Him praise. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. You okay?
Yes.
Good.